Psalm 45, verse number 11. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. He is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Now back to verse 1. My heart is inditing a good matter. I spew things I made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. These words in verse number 11, He is thy Lord, and worship thou him. He is not only the creator, he is creator of all things. He is not only the upholder, he upholds all things by the word of his power. He is not only high, he is higher than the highest. He is higher than the heavens. He is higher than the kings of the earth. And beloved, he is thy Lord. Worship thou him. He is not only superior, he is supreme. He is not only prominent, he is preeminent. That thrills my heart as I meditate upon that scene right now. He is not only a peer, he is peerless. He is not only king, he is king of kings. And he is not only Lord, he is Lord of lords. And beloved, he is thy Lord. And he is my Lord. This one who is our Lord to me is the living Lord. The living Lord. Says in Hebrews 7 verse 25, wherefore he is able to say to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. Revelation chapter 1, 18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, but I am alive forevermore. I speak reverently and discreetly. We are not here to remember a dead Christ. We're here to remember one who became dead, but is alive forevermore. And this morning we're standing on the life side of the cross, on resurrection ground, remembering him who so remembered us. Yes, thank God, the cross is empty, and the tomb is vacated, and the throne is filled. And we say with all sincerity, look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. From the fight return victorious, every knee to him shall bow. Crown him King of kings and Lord of lords, for he is worthy. Never will I remember standing, I never forget standing in that particular position in the garden, in the tomb. I can't sing, but I remember that day as I looked there where the body of Jesus had lain. I like that expression, had lain. No longer there. I started singing, I serve a risen Savior is in the world today. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Now that we're coming up from the tomb, many people are waiting to get in. And again we started, lo, in the grave you lay Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day Jesus my Lord. And up from the grave he arose and mighty triumph over his foes. That psychological moment, up in Golgotha, another crowd entered right in and started singing, Hallelujah, Christ arose. And all through the valley, Hallelujah, Christ arose. So this morning, he is a living Lord, alive forevermore. And happier we can truthfully say, he lives, and he lives in my heart. And secondly, in only the living Lord, He is the loving Lord. The loving Lord. John 13 verse 1, having loved His own which are in the world, He loved them right on to the very uttermost, right on to perfection, right on through Gethsemane's garden, right through Calvary's cruel cross. And beloved, His love will not let Him rest. To His chosen, all are blessed. To the all for whom He died, live rejoicing at His side. The Apostle Paul could say, the Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. Oh, I know our adorable Lord Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for her. But oh, this individual, this personal love of the Lord, that we can truthfully say this morning, the Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. How greatly Jesus must have loved me to bear my sin in His body on the tree. And just think, in John 15 verse 9 you read, the very same love wherewith the Father loved Him, so He loves us this morning with that very same love. It's the Father's love in extension for the Son. It's the same in quality, it's the same in measure, and He loves us. Then He says, to see that ye love one another. I like that. He is the living Lord. He is the loving Lord. But here's another little point. To me, He is the lovely Lord. Oh, He is the lovely Lord. As says, remember in verse number 2, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever. Psalm 45 is the seed plot of the Song of Solomon. And there in chapter 5 of the Song of Songs, we hear a question asked to the spouse. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, thou dost charge us? And oh, this exactly thrills me. She began to describe her beloved. His hair is black and bushy. And she goes on describing him. Comes right down, all those beautiful touches, just so real and just so precious. Cause her heart to leap with joy and bow in worship. And by the way, have you ever heard of a woman lost for words? Now have you? Well, here's a woman lost for words. She comes right down through that chapter and says, oh, he's altogether lovely. Is that true this morning? He's altogether lovely. This is my beloved. Oh, thou fairest among women. Yes, beloved, there he is. Is he like that to you this morning? The altogether lovely. Can you look up and say with all sincerity, oh, precious Lord Jesus, how lovely thou art. Come and abiding a rule in my heart. Break every fetter. Thy face let me see. They now shall ever be precious to me. What happened in Song of Song 5? I'll tell you. As a result of that testimony, chapter 6 verse 1 comes in. They said, whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women, that we may seek him with us, for thee? Beloved, beloved, when lip and life are synchronizing, speaking well of our adorable Lord Jesus, your life, my life, are now shining of the indwelling Christ, others too are going to seek him with us. Mrs. Boswell and I were in another country some time ago, and just over 1,000 sat down to remember the Lord Jesus. I was there speaking at their Easter convention along with Ernest Tatham. And I had just finished speaking after the breaking of bread on four reasons why the Lord is precious to me. And a dear black brother rose to his feet quite spontaneously, and with tears rolling down his face, he began to repeat from his heart what I am going to read to you right now. And you know, each heart was stilled and strangely moved as that beloved brother repeated from his heart these particular words. Oh, what is Jehovah El Shaddai to me? My Lord God and Savior, Emmanuel He. My prophet, priest, sacrifice, altar and lamb. Judge, advocate, surety and witness I am. My peace and my life, my truth and my way. My leader, my teacher, my hope and my stay. Redeemer and ransom, atonement and friend. Is Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. Yea more, is Jehovah El Shaddai to besides, avenger and shepherd and keeper and guide, my horn of salvation, my captain in war, my dayspring, my sun and my bright morning star, my wonderful counselor, wisdom and light, my shadow by day and my beacon by night, pearl, ornament, diadem, traitor untold, my strength and my son, in him I behold. All this, Jehovah Rapha and more, my bread and my water, my dwelling, my door, my branch and my vine, my lily and rose, rock, hiding place, refuge, shield, covert repose, my sure resurrection, my glory above, my king in his beauty, my bridegroom, my love, my all and in all in Christ Jesus I see, for God has made him to be all things to me. Then he said, say to thy soul, what is he to thee? And there wasn't a dry eye in that crowd that morning as that dear brother from his heart gave expression to what Christ really meant to him. Is this so in your life and in mine? Not only is he the living Lord and the loving Lord and the lovely Lord, and remember with him now never can be compared, but may I suggest something more here? He is the lonely Lord. The lonely Lord. You say, what? He is in heaven, and there are myriads upon myriads of redeemed spirits in heaven. All the angelic hosts are there, yes, I know. But he's lonely. He's waiting for his bride. He's waiting for his blood-bought possession. He's waiting for that day for the one whom he won. At the place called Calvary will be with him. And share with him the countless ages of eternity. All the glorious victory and the glory of heaven, which are his. And we're going to share them forevermore. Did you ever think of that? He's longing for that day. Are we? This is only till he comes. And it may be this very morning, the listening sky is now dumb, or hear the bridegroom's voice saying, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Does your heart with my heart say, even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come today, even so come, Lord Jesus, catch up thy bride away. Oh, how my heart is yearning, longing for thy returning. Even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come today. Just think, he and I in that bright glory, one deep joy to share, mine to be forever with him, his, that I am there. It may be wishful thinking in my part, but I would love our lovely Lord to come this morning. Here we are, fulfilling his last loving request. When he said, this do in remembrance of me. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful to hear him saying, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away far above the skies. Yes, we can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. And our souls are longing to be with him evermore. Then he shall see all the travel of his soul and be completely satisfied. Are you longing to bring that satisfaction and joy and pleasure to him? We often think away from our sorrows and our trials and our burdens. Oh, friend, get the other picture. think of what he's going to get out of it. His glory, his satisfaction, his joy, and that forever, just having you and me with him. All the wonder of that glory is true. A young lad was born blind. When he was 15 years old, his father got home from business one day and found his wife somewhat down and dumps, really down. He said, "What's the matter, darling?" He said, "Oh, I'm all right." He said, "There's something troubling you. What is it?" He said, I'm all right. "No, come on, there's something troubling you. What is it?" And you know, he said, "Just leave me alone." He said, "I won't leave you alone. You women are funny things, really." He said, "There's something wrong with you. What is it?" He said, "You know, it's getting through to me. To think the child we brought into the world and all this for him will never see the parents who has done it." He went back to his office somewhat disconcerted and confided in one of his colleagues who told him the Harley Street specialist back in Britain performing wonderful operation known as born blind. An interview was arranged. They flew back to the UK. The doctor examined the boy's eyes and said, "I'm very sorry. I'll operate. I'll do my best. I can do no more." They agreed to the operation. Sometime after, the father and mother were sent for. In the room, a company of medical students, doctors, and nurses. And of course, the father and mother and the boy. After a time, the bands were all removed, and the boy looked up to the ceiling. He looked down the floor, saw a table in front of him. He saw his hand moving for the first time. And you know, he looked out, and he saw his father and his mother for the very first time. Someone said, "Aren't you now happy you can see?" "Oh," he said, "I'm extremely happy, but please, I want to see the man who opened my eyes." The professor was just next room waiting for the results. They brought him in. The boy clasped by the hand and said, "Thank you, sir, for opening my eyes." Beloved, it may be this day we too shall be ushered right into the immediate presence of that lovely man who opened our eyes, and we shall thank him face to face. Remember, he is thy Lord. Thy Lord. Worship thou him. When Thomas of old had seen the nail prints and that spear-riven side, he fell before Christ and cried, "My Lord and my God." But then he's the Holy One. Not only are the living, loving, lovely, lonely, he's the Holy One. We know who thou art, the Holy One of God. You're taking the Holy and Just One and nailed him to a tree, but I must hurry. Then I find he's the Honored One. He is honored. Hebrews 2 verse number 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and with honor." And more than that, he's the highly exalted one. But God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and tongue confess that he is Lord, the glory of God the Father. But then there's something more. He is the necessary one. The necessary one. Remember, it says in Acts 4 verse 12, "There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." 1 Timothy 2 verses 5 and 6, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." Psalm 49, Jehovah said, "No man can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for his soul. But now listen, deliver that soul from going to the pit. I have found a ransom." Who is he? The one who is our Lord. Our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Last in this connection now, he is the only one. The only one. Remember that lovely scripture in Isaiah 45:22 says, "Look unto me and be saved, For I am the Lord, and there is none else. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he's transfigured before them. And when Peter, James, and John lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Jesus only filled the vision, occupied the heart's affection. It is my desire this morning that each of us will leave this delightful gathering. We're so much aware of the fact the Lord is here. I say with all sincerity, He is my Lord. I've seen the Lord. I've heard His voice. With all sincerity, you say, reign over me, Lord Jesus. Reign over all within. Make me a loyal subject to Thee in everything. For isn't He worthy? 10,000 times 10,000. He alone is the worthy one. He is Thy Lord. Worship Thou Him.